Jesus and the Woman of Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a Samaritan woman?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshiped on this mountain. You say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe in me. The hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you."
Our second scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 27 to 42, continuing where we left off. "Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, 'What do you want?' or 'Why are you speaking with her?' Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, 'Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?' They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, 'Rabbi, eat something.' But he said to them, 'I have food to eat that you do not know about.' So the disciples said to one another, 'Surely no one has brought him something to eat.' Jesus said to them, 'My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true: one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." Please pray with me. Lord God, we wish to see Jesus. By your Spirit's power, give us eyes to see his glory, all that he is, as we encounter your word today. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Well, we human beings are awfully tribal folks. With all the nuance of 21st century sophistication, we may not always like the idea of counting others as out, but we sure like being in. Gossip, well, I guess we're in this time of physical distancing, our memory of gossip illustrates this perfectly. Our ears just itch to know what's being said in those whispered tones, whether that information is pertinent to us or not. Something inside us is satiated when we are in the circle of knowledge, when we are counted as part of the tribe. This same urge to be on the inside feeds conspiracy groups like QAnon. This is why the mass manipulators at Facebook have started emphasizing groups more and more. When we're in, we feel good. And for their purposes, we spend more time on Facebook. I should note that our Facebook groups are not inherently bad, and especially during this pandemic, some of us have found real connection and needed encouragement in our Southminster Facebook group, which if you haven't joined, encourage you. It's called SPC Community. You can find a link on our website. Well, growing up, my best friend lived next door. We would play together. We would invent together. We would dream and scheme together. We would run through our neighborhood, which was at that time unbounded by fences, together. And on occasion, we would tell the other kids in our cul-de-sac, of whom there were many, that we couldn't play with them too that day. And it was really because sometimes our tribe was just that small. Just that small, just the two of us. Well, through elementary school, my own personal sense of tribalism continued to grow, and I found that if I wasn't at the center of whatever drama was brewing, I at least usually had an inside line on what was going on. It fed my sense of security and self-importance. It fed my ego, my shadow side, really. Well, left unchecked, tribalism just continues to grow from there. We see this growing tribalism in our national politics, with Democrats and Republicans increasingly likely to suggest their opponents are not just wrong, but evil. Our survey data shows us this. We're growing incapable of connecting across our divides. As a people, we're cutting off those with whom we disagree. In the midst of this season, it's worth looking at this, what this passage has to say about the relative value of insiders and outsiders. So this morning, we're going to explore our passage through a pair of diary entries. The first is brought to us by Nancy Zombro from the Diary of a Samaritan Woman, AD 32, Samaria.
"Today I met the most amazing man. The day started normally enough. At midday, I headed down to Jacob's Well. Maybe hot out at noon, but it gives me a shot at avoiding the crowd of gossips and all their sideways glances at me. When I was filling my jar, a man spoke to me. Would have been off-putting enough just to break custom and speak across gender lines outside the home. But beyond that, this man was a Jew. For the life of me, I couldn't think of any reason for a Jew to be here in Samaria, let alone a Jew here in Samaria to be speaking to me and asking me for help at that. When he asked me for water, I made clear that his request was inappropriate. What was he thinking? But of course he didn't care. He was either ignorant or insensitive to our customs. Typical. I was so confused when he said that he could offer me living water that would end my thirst. Would that mean I could be done with these midday trips to the well? Water flowing in my house? Couldn't be real. While Jacob, our ancestor, was great, even his well just has still water. There's no moving, living water in sight. And here this man was promising water that would not only quench eternal thirst, but also become a fountain of water, springing, leaping up to eternal life in those who received it. If you'd told me yesterday that today I'd have a conversation with a Jewish man, let alone meet a prophet, I would have called you crazy. Or maybe I would have assumed that he was. But there I was, sitting and talking to a Jewish man who told me things about myself that only my closest friends know, particularly about all my marriages. I figured he must be a prophet with all that he knew. Crazy or not, I was fixated. We got into it about proper worship. We Samaritans have never believed that God needs to be worshiped in Jerusalem. Our mountains have always been sufficient. Since I had the attention of this Jewish prophet, I thought I'd straighten this out. But instead of taking the bait, he abandoned his Jewish party line. He declared neither the mountain nor the temple mattered. True worship, he said, was in spirit and truth. The conversation sure hadn't taken the path I expected. I thought I'd put all this to rest by reminding him that when the Messiah comes, he would sort it all out between our tribes. And you know what happened? He told me that he was the Messiah. Crazy, right? I wasn't totally convinced yet, but I had to grant that maybe he was greater than Jacob after all. Just then his friends came back and interrupted us. You should have seen the scandalized look on their faces. Boy, were they uncomfortable. I jumped up and ran into the village to tell everyone about him. I was in such a rush that I forgot my water jug. I guess I'd gotten a taste of that living water after all, and it was springing up inside me. In town, all the people who usually ignore me actually believed me. And they rushed back with me to meet Jesus. Even right now, as I write, he's staying with us, teaching us, blessing us. I never expected a Messiah like this. But now that he's here among us, I'm so grateful. While the Jews have always treated us like we don't share in God's promises, I know that God is bigger than these divisions. Now that I've met Jesus, I have hope that God really might save the whole world after all.
Well, our second diary entry comes from the diary of Andrew, disciple of Jesus, AD 32, Samaria. Samaria. My skin crawls just being here. It's such a backwater, and I don't feel like I can trust any of the locals. Every conversation feels strained. Their Samaritan accent can be so strong. Sometimes I'm not even sure they're speaking Aramaic. We may disagree with the Pharisees and the Sadducees all the time, but at least they're really Jews. These Samaritans may share some of our ancestry, but they don't observe the law properly at all. They worship wherever they want, even up on the mountains like the worst kings in the scriptures. For all I know, they could be worshiping Baal or Ashtoreth or even Chemosh. Ugh. Filth. I'm not even sure why we're here. Jesus said it was quote unquote necessary, whatever that means. Sometimes when Jesus says something is necessary, it means that the Holy Spirit is guiding him. But other times it means it's what he wants. Now, we could have gone around. Samaria is not the only way to get to Galilee. But anyway, here we are. Life with Jesus, it really has its ups and downs. That day at the wedding at Cana, that was an up. Or when I left John the Baptist to become his very first disciple, those were banner days, days when I felt inspired, when I felt important, when I could feel the power and the promise of what God was doing through and for us, the chosen people. They were days when I felt like my rabbi was drawing me into a closer relationship with God. But today, well, let me put it this way. Some days I feel like all we disciples do is manage Jesus. Sometimes he gets so wrapped up in spiritual things that it takes all 12 of us to handle the rest. In fact, today we all had to go off to buy food, which of course meant more forced interaction with these half-Jew Samaritans. I suppose half-Jew might even be too generous. They've been mixing with the hill people for generations. They certainly aren't a part of God's chosen people anymore. As if it wasn't bad enough having to buy food from them, when we got back to the well where we left Jesus, he was talking with one of them, a woman. I know that Jesus has his own ideas about God's love and doing his Father's will, but this kind of thing is downright scandalous. Doesn't he know how this could impact his ministry? Maybe it's good that it happened while we're out here in the boonies. I don't know if respectable people would have let it slide. Now, the woman left soon after we arrived. She took off, leaving her water jug behind. I guess she must have realized how inappropriate it all was, and we scared her away. Now, we were sure Jesus needed to eat, and we encouraged him to take care of himself. We all know the importance of self-care, but yet again, he started talking about spiritual things, spiritual food this time. Can't just one conversation with Jesus be normal? What he said next about sowers and reapers, well, at first it was upsetting. Now, I've always thought about us disciples, the important ones, as his sowers, but I couldn't figure out. Who were these other laborers he was talking about? Anyway, at least we finally got Jesus to eat some non-spiritual food, if you know what I mean. Then when the woman came back with a whole crowd of people wanting to meet Jesus, well, it started to make sense, as shocking as it was. This Samaritan, and a woman no less, had sowed so many seeds, and it was the seed that Jesus himself reaped. I have to admit, the words still don't feel quite right on my tongue, but she turned out to be an amazing disciple. And all the while, we had focused our full attention on the relative complexities of lunch. If I think about it, and if I open my mind a bit, I guess there are echoes here of some of our famous predecessors, women and men like Rahab and Naaman and Ruth, even the sailors and Ninevites from the scroll of Jonah. They were all outsiders too, and they are all great examples of faithfulness. Well, before we left Samaria, one of the Samaritans said something about Jesus that I can't get out of my head. He said, "We know that this is truly the Savior of the world." I know that John told us Jesus was the Lamb of God, but it took someone I despised, someone I thought didn't matter to God at all, to show me what that meant. These outsiders understood the truth of Jesus better than any of us disciples did. It still seems that Jesus' conversation with the woman at the well never should have started. Samaritans and Jews, a man addressing a woman in public. But even I have to admit, God's grace bubbles up from surprising places. I guess I had a lot to learn from these Samaritans. And in the end, it's just like Jesus said, the sowers and the reapers will rejoice together. May it be so. Amen.